2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Hey there, and welcome to Easy Being Green. I'm Taylor Powers, and that's Deanne Tetzel, and we're your hosts talking about how to make the planet a little healthier. And today we're talking about wildfires and their relationship to climate change.
Yeah, this time of year, it's, we're moving obviously into fall and closer toward winter every day, but this is the time when things are dried out and we're starting to see some of the catastrophic wildfire events that kind of crop up at the end of the summer.
Right.
Things are dried out and that's when we start to see have issues.
October, November, especially in the U.S., it's here on the west side in, you know, California, Oregon, Washington, even in Utah and Montana.
Colorado.
Colorado. Yeah. It gets really scary, especially because due to climate change, the summers are getting longer. You know, the snowmelt is happening sooner, which means it's more extended period of time for everything to dry out. And then you start to get these storms that aren't quite giving precipitation with tons of wind. And, you know, one spark just sets off a devastating wildfire.
Yeah, recipe for big problems, which we have seen, pretty regularly over the last few years. And we were, you know, given the power outage that hit Northern California in the last, about a week ago, right? We were thinking about, I know that the Pacific, PG&E there was trying to prevent, because they saw in the forecast that Santa Ana winds were a possibility, right? And they were trying to prevent the situation that happened in 2018, which devastated a lot of counties in Northern California, took people out of their homes.
The 2018 fires, if you're not familiar with it in California, it took out, I don't even know how many acres. It killed 88 people in Northern California. And then I'm from California, so a lot of my family and friends were affected by it. But it was mainly PG&E got the blame for it. A power line kind of sparked or went down or something. And so they had a big wrath. I think they even filed a bankruptcy. And so this year they, you know, really didn't want to go through not only the devastation of, you know, what happened to people's homes and lives and, you know, not even talking about the cost, but just preventing that from themselves.
Sure.
But some people, because I went back to California for a wedding, and some people were saying, I think it's just PG&E getting back at us. You know, this isn't even, there's not even high winds, and this is just to get back at everyone. And it's like, you know, I don't think a company would would shut off power to I don't even know the number, 186,000 or something.
Something like that. It was a big part of Northern California, just Northern California, because I had a friend that was there too, and she said she got a text message and they had 5 hours to prepare, and she said luckily they had generators and things like that, but not everybody is in that kind of a preparedness state, so they didn't have much time to go out and get themselves ready with flashlights and whatnot. But
it was kind of crazy. I was in Sonoma and we were out out without power. And in the morning, I found out that a little bakery in town was open. They had a generator and they were just serving coffee and breakfast sandwiches. So we walked down and there was like a mass of people in line and everybody was talking like it was the end of the world. Like, oh my God, it's so many things that I didn't think about that we needed for electricity. Like I tried to I can't even remember. Oh, the gas stove, if it's an electric start, and all these other things, and the refrigeration. And so people were just losing it. And it just really makes you think, like, just your electricity goes out and people are entering hysteria.
Depend on for every day.
Like, be a little bit more prepared.
Yeah. I think that's a good message, actually, to all of us.
Yeah.
Given everything we've been talking about, it just makes sense to have a few of the things in your home that you can be prepared for these kinds of situations. Because I heard some of that, the information you talked about too, that they've filed bankruptcy and they're in a tricky spot and they're behind on a lot of their upkeep.
Yeah.
So they're trying, and I think that with the threat of that potentially coming, we all know the weather we can forecast the best we can, but at the end of the day, we don't know what's going to happen. So they were doing, I imagine, the best they could with what they had.
Yeah.
And trying to prevent that kind of a scenario, knowing that, like we have just talked about, it's the time of year, it's ripe for if the Santa Ana winds were to kick up, and then, like you said, one spark, one wrong move, which many of these things are human-caused, these fires, but many of them are lightning, dry lightning, things like that. So
yeah, definitely. And there were high winds. It was only for a few hours, but they were prepared for it. And they thought, rather be safe than sorry. It's going to make people uncomfortable. Yeah, it's not going to make us be the good guy, because nothing they do right now can make them be the good guy. But, they may have very well prevented a fire from starting, and people forget that.
That's right.
Yeah. But in general, wildfires, enough about the Northern California power outage, they're growing every single year. I mean, the risk is growing, wildfire season is growing, and the wildfires themselves are becoming more severe. And it's kind of this negative feedback loop of climate change making the dry areas drier, the wet areas wetter, and making these fires more intense and more devastating.
That's right. Yeah, the risk is just going up. They're more and more arid and drier and more flammable. Mm-hmm. And again, as we've been talking about, 2018 showed California, which many of the places that are at risk are in the state of California. But like we had said, it's all over the western United States. We're an arid region.
Mm-hmm.
And we depend on the rain and the water coming in the wet seasons. And climate change has also affected the amount of water that we're receiving and what we've got kind of to fight the fires with, but also just for our drinking water,
for sure,
everything that we need it for. So, there are some people saying we need to better manage these forests that are so flammable now. Oh, we haven't even mentioned the pine beetle, climate change is affecting that as well. So
with drier conditions, it's more easily spreadable.
That's right. They're getting into the trees, and the trees are more vulnerable to them. Yeah. And if you drive up in the canyons here in Utah, you'll see our forests with many dead standing pines. So that's part of the situation too, that it makes it more, at risk.
Susceptible.
For, right.
Yeah. I mean, the dry soil, especially areas that have already had fires and then they're trying to regrow, a lot of that is, again, just kindling for fires.
Yeah.
And another thing, not necessarily fires, but areas that have had a wildfire, sometimes it's so hard for them to rebuild and they can't retain moisture that then you're at risk for flash floods in low level areas.
The erosion that's happened here in Utah for sure. There are communities that
when I was living in Colorado, the same thing happened.
When the rain does come, which we're all praying for, it's like, oh, not too much at once, because then the burn scars are susceptible to
everything. Is so fragile.
Right. Yeah, it's kind of, we do have the recipe out here for these big fires. And the other point that I think is being made too is that because they can burn more and hotter and travel quicker, that it's now moving in, it's more likely to move into communities where people live. And I think that's part of what happened in 2018. It moved and jumped into these communities and burned, like you said, I think 88.
It burned the entire town of Paradise. It entered Santa Rosa, which is a pretty big town.
Mm-hmm.
It's really threatening the people in residential areas that don't think they're at risk.
Right. Yeah.
And then that's really going to start affecting even more things. Like when people are trying to, you know, purchase homes, figuring out where's the safest area, and all this mass of people leaving California, not only to wildfires, but, you know, many other reasons. They're fleeing California right now.
Yeah. And I think that's part of what I was, when I was reading about the fires in California, a lot of people had moved to that little community of Paradise and places mm-hmm. like that because they can't afford the high rents of the cities mm-hmm. there. And now they don't have a home mm-hmm. and now they have nowhere to go. So we've got displaced people. And I mean, one of the solutions people are saying is for people to to move back away from these forests and things. But it's like, then you look at it and it's almost an impossible thing to ask people to do.
I know. It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's scary. So, I don't know. And all of the things that we've talked about on this program that we can do can obviously help this problem, mm-hmm. which is part of what's happening due to all the other things that are affecting climate change. So,
yeah, if we can reduce our emissions, start trying to halt climate change. And I mean, I don't know if reverse is even something worth talking about, but halting mm-hmm. it so it doesn't get worse, because at the rates right now, these are just expected to increase even more. Not only our greenhouse gas emissions, but wildfires in general, the whole season. And as you know, wildfires emit tons of emissions, carbon and whatnot into the air, which is, it's just, like I said, it's just a negative feedback loop.
Yeah, negative circle,
So it's just really scary. So it's just another thing that we have to be aware of when we're making these conscious decisions in our life, and one more thing that it affects.
One thing I know that if you happen to be a person that lives in a community that's near a prone wildfire area, you can manage the vegetation and things like that around your home.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And we have friends that lived in a canyon here, at the time that they moved in there, they didn't even have a fire station up there, and it was scary. Oh, there was one time, you know, they woke up in the middle of the night and saw some fire on the hillside, and they thought, do we need to evacuate? And mm-hmm. they've put a fire. So a lot of these communities are, you know, putting fire stations in closer to their community and doing things like I just talked about, controlling the vegetation around the home. And there are actually, you can build roofs and things like that are less prone to
Mm-hmm. You can use materials that are less flammable. Also just, you know, clearing out your gutters regularly, mm-hmm. all those little things. But then also, I mean, I know it's fire stations. They do a lot of these prescribed burns and collecting and cleaning up the forest, because that's what's going to be the biggest risk, is just how quickly it can spread due to everything that's just in the forest. Forest. And another thing that is interesting to think about is that like dry grasslands are going to be less of risk of catching fire, because as it gets drier and more intense and less fire, they're not even going to be able to sustain grass throughout the summer.
Interesting.
And so it's not even going to be flammable. It's really just going to be the foresty areas.
Yeah. And we're talking really, what we have more information about today is really mm-hmm. more right here close to home. But obviously, we talked about the rainforest that had,
a
few episodes ago. So it's all over the world. Mm-hmm. And again, it's, you know, we'll try to do what we can do as individuals to overall help reduce our carbon footprint mm-hmm. that we've given lots of ideas about on this show. But the other point is that, you know, trying to do what you can if you do happen to live in an area like this. Be prepared and try to do what you can to protect your property and reduce the vegetation around it. And maybe another volun- volunteer type thing where you can go and help clean up your canyons or something like that.
So. And also just being aware of your own risk of starting a fire, because almost 80% of wildfires are human caused. Mm-hmm. So if you do live in the mountains and you have a fireplace, making sure that all the trees up outside of your house are trimmed, you're not at risk for, you know, sparking something. That if you're out camping, you make sure you put your campfire out all the way.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause a lot of times it looks like it's out and there is still heat in there. You really have to drench it and cover it. And just being conscious. If you're,
being aware.
If you're a smoker, make sure to get rid of your cigarettes properly. All those types of things.
Yeah, and following the fire danger signs if you're out and about. You know, if it's really high fire danger, just forego the campfire.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not worth it.
No.
Yeah.
Just bring a hot water bottle for heat.
That's right.
Or a little portable.
You can make do without it.
Yeah. I mean, as these conditions get worse in all aspects, we're going to have to get out of our comfort zone and make changes. But just know that it's for the greater good.
That's right.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, and we'll be back with more tips next week.